eastbound on 177th East Avenue with a passenger. The report further states that they failed to yield at a stop sign where they were struck on the driver's side by a Freightliner truck driven by a Collinsville man who was driving eastbound on State Highway 20. The juvenile driver was pinned for an hour and a half and was extricated with the jaws of life. EMS pronounced the driver dead at the scene due to his injuries. For news, I'm Max Gross.
It's time to head out to Dink's Real Pit Barbecue on Frank Phillips Boulevard in Bartlesville for the Bruin Football Coaches Show with head coach of the Bartlesville Football Bruins, Jason Sport. Thanks to OK Federal Credit Union, the Dunge's Family of Autos, Dr. Stephen Beard, the dentist, and Dink's Real Pit Barbecue for bringing you the Bruin Football Coaches Show each Wednesday from 6 to 7 right here on K1.
Hello and welcome out to Dink's Real Pit Barbecue. You're listening to K1 AM 1400 FM 93.3, BartlesvilleRadio.com, the Bartlesville Radio app. And you can watch this program live on the internet as well on K1TV.com. Glad to have you with us. Evan Farbach, Bartlesville head football coach. Jason Sport, special week as the Bruins are getting set for homecoming on Friday night against Sand Springs. Bartlesville coming off a heck of an effort on the road at Sepulpa a week ago, 55-40, a loss to the Chieftains. And Coach Sport, before we talk about Sand Springs a little bit later on in the program, don't forget we'll have our Wassmiller Insurance player profile. Bartlesville senior quarterback Ben Winter is going to be our player profile a little bit later on in the program. But Coach Sport, before we get into the Sandites and talk to Ben, a 15-point loss at Sepulpa last week. If people paid attention to that game or read anything about it afterward, they know that it really wasn't a two-score game. Throughout the contest, it was a lead for you guys. You guys led most of the first half. You actually had the ball up by 13 at one point pretty late in the second quarter. Held on to a one-touchdown lead at halftime. You guys ended up being within a touchdown for throughout most of the fourth quarter, scored a touchdown, went for two, didn't get it, and they tacked on a couple more at the end of the ball game, and that's how you got that 55-40 loss to Sepulpa. And Coach, just overall, your thoughts on the game against the Chieftains last week?
It's we took another step forward. Extremely excited about the effort that our kids put forth this week. Sepulpa's a good football team, and offensively, things got to clicking, and I was excited to see a lot of good things happening. Wish we could have done a little better job defensively with keeping those guys bottled up, but they got away from us, and in the end, got beat. Thought, that first half, our kids were very excited. The game plan was a good game plan, and just kept pressing forward, and lots of good things happening. Hopefully we'll get it together this week, and things will be a little bit different, so.
Yeah, really good football team. It's worth mentioning again how tough of a schedule you guys have had to play. And, when you look at it and you kind of take a step back at 2019, good or bad, it's really mimicked 2018 to some extent for you all. The only difference to this point from last year to this year was not beating one of those couple 5A teams you guys had at the beginning of the schedule. Last year, the 2018 Bruins, of course, won at Claremore, but then they dropped four in a row. Ended up losing to Collinsville and, of course, losing to Del City and Booker T and Sepulpa, just the same as you guys have as well. Of course, you had that pretty decent lead against Claremore, against Collinsville, I beg your pardon. So when you look at it, it really is pretty similar. And one of the things that struck me as well when you were talking about the offense is a year ago, you guys had scored 13 points against Del City and Booker T combined in the 2 weeks heading into the Sepulpa game when you scored 58 points against the Chieftains at home in that loss. This year, similar type of deal. You were shut out against Booker T. It scored 24 against Del City. Then you go into Sepulpa and you score 40 points. I know some of that probably has to do with the Chieftain offense, but I would guess not all of it. Is that correct? Probably a little bit of both.
It is what it is. Del City and Booker T, the style of defense that they play, you've got to have a really good mid-range pass game, and that's supposed to open up your run game. And they press man a lot, and it gave us some fits, put a few more guys in the box than what you can block it. And then Sepulpa changes it up. They don't play that style of defense. And I will tell you that Ben is been really good the last, you know, 10 days or so, just kind of settling in and seeing some things. I think Lake and Cloudus is pre-snap, seeing things a little quicker now, kind of settling in. And that's what you saw Friday night. You know, Lakin ran for 230 and Ben passed for over 330. Spread the ball around a few different receivers and seeing things happening quicker. And I think that's a testament to, you know, Coach Moon, as well as the speed of the defenses that he had seen the previous 2 weeks, got him ready for a good Sepulveda defense.
Bartlesville head football coach Jason Sport with us. We're at Dink's Pit Barbecue here off Frank Phillips Boulevard in Bartlesville talking Bruin football. Bartlesville will take on Sand Springs Friday night at 7 o'clock. For homecoming, let's talk a little bit about that Chieftain game in general. I mentioned the fact that you guys had a 34-21 lead pretty late in the second quarter, and you had the football. You guys had stopped Sand Springs on three straight possessions. In fact, if I remember correctly, it had been three straight three and outs. And you guys are really rolling, had all the momentum in the world in your camp. Still went into halftime with a lead, and obviously it was a good game, but it really felt like you had a big opportunity with the ball up by 13 to get that thing out to 20. And I think the metaphor that we used on the broadcast, which maybe isn't the most family-friendly one, was, but you got your foot on their throat. You had it right there. You just couldn't quite get it stomped down. Kind of walk me through that part of the ball game, because looking back on it now, that seemed to be a big one where maybe if you guys had gotten another stop or been able to score on that drive, it might have been a different story down the stretch.
Yeah, we always want to default to aggressive. We want to be aggressive in those situations. If you'll remember, there was a 4th-and-8 early in the ball game, and we didn't throw anything underneath. We threw it deep, threw it up to Shane, and we were in attack mode. And there, when we got the ball at the end of the half, they made a couple of adjustments defensively that I saw. We had a couple of guys that needed a breather there, and I told Coach Moon, I said, let's be smart here. I want to run the ball. Let's keep the clock moving. And I thought there was a good possibility we could get out of the ball, or excuse me, get out of the half without them even touching the ball, and that's not what happened. We had a punt to them, and they went and scored right before the half, which, you know, in hindsight, you know, maybe you make a different decision, but I was trying to make the best decision for what we had on the sideline there with our kids and what was going on. Even with that, there's a lot of plays that we could have done a better job of through the second half. And still too many penalties, you know, and got to fix that. We got to fix that stuff.
And there was a lot of penalties in total, not just on you all that night on last Friday at Sepulpa. I think I had a remark to Jay during the broadcast pretty early on. You could kind of just tell it was going to be one of those nights. It seemed like, you know, I don't know enough about it to really speak super intelligently, but you could just kind of tell from the first few minutes on that it was going to be one of those evenings where you saw a lot of laundry on the field for whatever reason.
There was some indication of that when about an hour before the game, the official came in the locker room to let us know that it was his field, and he was running things tonight, sure. And he was going to do his thing, and they get to do their thing. You know, the best officials I've ever been around are the ones that you don't even notice. You know, the game stayed pretty clean, and those guys were working hard. I know their white hat that usually works that crew was not there that night, so they had to move a back judge up, and Jamie done a good job with the with what he had to work with the other night. Wish that clock operator could have, you know, pushed start and stop a little bit different there. But it is what it is. And, there was a lot of flags. What, 33 or
something
so
like
total
that, yeah.
For the night?
I should have written it down before we got here. But, both teams had over 15, I believe.
Yeah,
so.
I think it was 33 for the whole night. It was a lot of flags.
Yep, no question about it. It seemed like a lot of big plays came back because we're talking about Bartlesville's 55-40 loss on the road at Sepulpa this past Friday. Let's talk a little bit more about that first half. And in general, obviously, you give up 55 points on defense. That's not something you'll be particularly pleased with. That being said, those three and outs that your defense was able to get you midway through that second quarter, that enabled you to get the lead and then really stay in the game when things kind of dried up a little bit later on in the evening. Those three possessions in a row by your defense may be as good against as good a competition that your guys have played the entire season.
Yeah, there's been spurts through the season where, you know, defensively we've been really, really good. I know there's a handful of series there in the Booker T game that the guy's done a great job. And in Collinsville, there was a long period of time where we done a great job there. And those three series there against Sepulpa with the offense that they have, the dynamic players. Ryan Nolan does a good job with their offense and move people around and try to find the best matchup where the weak spot is and tries to exploit that with what you're doing. And they've got a couple of kids that are very fast that put you in a bind. That number seven is as fast as we'll see the entire year. He's a dynamic football player. And you've got to contain that guy and bring all the troops with you when you get there. So
I don't know much about, and I tried to do just some Googling and didn't find much. I would assume that he'll be able to play somewhere. I know that I haven't seen a ton on the internet recruiting-wise on him, but certainly, gosh, he's just been dynamic every single time you guys have seen him. Six touchdowns.
Yep. He and he's a junior, I believe. So we got another
year
of that.
And that might be one of the reasons why. Yeah.
He's like trying to hold on to a greased BB with boxing gloves on in the dark, man. He just can't hardly hold on to that guy. He get out of there pretty quick.
You talked about the offense playing better. Ben Winters is going to be our player profile this evening. I thought that he's been really sharp, especially the last six quarters of play. He had the addition of Nick Tessier last week. Shane was obviously tremendous. Caleb Perry was really good, too. Some of those issues that we talked about, a week ago, sitting at this very table, the drops kind of faded away. So, again, I talk about maybe Sepulpa being a breath of fresh air for the offense, but I think it's more than that. You guys kind of converted on some plays that you just barely missed on in some previous weeks.
Yeah, and Evan, we're not calling any different plays. It's not new. It's the same stuff we've been working on and just getting better at it. And, Ben done a great job. He found Caden Davis a few times and started moving the ball. I know Shane does an incredible job with what we have him doing, and it's, pick your poison. Where are you going to go? You want to roll down and stop Lakin, or are you going to sit inside on one of those RPOs? Or, if you do that too quick, we're going to run by you. It was a good game. I was excited to see those guys kind of, smile, have some fun, and throw the ball around and do some stuff. Really proud of Lakin, bouncing back from early midseason stuff and had a great game the other night. Saw the bend back very well and had great vision downfield. There was a handful of plays that came back, the big kick return, and Ben Winters took off and scored. That one came back, but, man, it kind of looked like a little Michael Vick action or something.
It did, I remember that was a 27-yard run there.
I heard a guy get in the end zone, and, he's doing really well, coming along.
Second half, you score 34 points in the first, the last two and a half. From where you sit, what was the difference the last 28 minutes or so of that ball game?
Little things, the little things. And they tweaked, made some adjustments there, and they were good adjustments. And we saw the adjustments they made and tried to go attack those things, but got behind the sticks a couple times with some flags and just little things continue to haunt us.
Bartlesville head football coach Jason Sport with us, going to preview the Bruins and the Sandites of Sand Springs a little bit later on in the program as we're talking about Bartlesville's loss to Sepulpa last week, 55-40. We'll have our Wassmiller Insurance player profile with senior quarterback Ben Winters a little bit later on in the program. Wanted to talk a little bit more about the defense. Logan Hartman's return has been big for you guys last couple weeks, double-digit tackler a week ago, and he was someone that really I noticed flying all around the field, and obviously adding a guy who's played multiple seasons at the varsity level, kind of coming in 2-3 games into the season, looks like it's kind of given a linebacking core, which was already playing pretty well, kind of a shot in the arm.
Yeah, without a doubt. Logan does a good job. He's a sacrificial linebacker. I mean, if we need him to wrong arm and spill some things, he's going to do that, do it as hard as he can. And, against Booker T, had double-digit tackles. And then the other night was left on that open side and ended up, 16 tackles total for the game, and goes hard and makes things tough on opponents. And when he gets the opportunity to, wrong arm a puller or something like that, he's going to do it with everything he's got. And really proud of, just his effort as a senior coming out of the three games that he missed. He didn't miss a beat when he came back, so we're excited about that. And that linebacking core, we've had Noah Yazzie here on the show.
Yeah.
He's really stepped forward and done a good job. Braden Winters is doing a fantastic job. 18 tackles the other night, had 22 tackles last week against Booker T, and 76 for the year. He's all over the place. And Rocky Schumann continues to get better in space and is a big, long body that, you know, can give some people some fits. Does a great job. It's Hunter McClintock, a kid that played three games for, you know, at the wheel position and continues to get better every day in practice. And is, you know, we got five guys that can go play linebacker for us.
And, you know, you mentioned Braden Winters, and I had actually tinkered with asking this question in a previous coach's show when he might get a target on offense, and he got a couple against Sepulpa on Friday.
Yep.
Unfortunately, he couldn't quite hang on to either one of them.
Oh, man.
One was probably going to be a touchdown had he held on to one. The other was the two-point conversion. That one, as we talked about during the broadcast, Jay and I did, wasn't 100% on him. Boy, it was a beautiful play. Let's talk about each one at one time. Let's talk about the two-point conversion first.
Yeah, so that's a tight end throwback. You know, Coach Moon puts that in as part of our two-point conversion stuff, and I've seen him run it at several different schools and different times throughout his career, and it's a great play. And that ball set up there like a fluffy pillow and went right through his arms.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of gave him a hard time, you know, and the pop play, we hit him in stride. That could have been a touchdown there. And
that looked similar to a play that you guys had used earlier, I think, at Del City, if my memory strikes me correct, with a different fullback at that time.
Yes, I think the one you're talking about, probably would have probably had a Schumann in it.
Yes,
at tight end and then Braden in it at fullback. And it's there's a twist off of what we've been doing with our normal 20 personnel stuff. And we just have him at tight end and hit him in the hands. And here's the thing. What do you do? I mean, the kid had, you know, 18 tackles and is all over the field playing lights out and drops two balls. I mean, he's such a good football player.
Yeah.
And does such a great job for us. And he takes it in stride. You know, we're giving him a shot. We might not ever throw a ball to him ever again. If you're an opponent and you're out there listening, we're probably never, ever going to throw it to him again.
You know, I can remember him. He caught a ball against Claremore last year in the first game of the season. It was a big reception for more than 20 yards. Maybe it was a third down reception or something like that. It's one that sticks out in my mind for whatever reason. That was over a year ago. And I don't think he got another reception the entire season, but certainly the two-point conversion that you talked about, boy, that was just a beautiful play. Watching it from our spot in the press box, you can just see it open up because Ben has to run back to his right, then stop and throw back left. That ball just kind of floats up there just enough that I think that whoever it was, defensive back or Sepulpa defensive player, kind of he heard his footsteps a little bit. And it was bang, bang. That one wasn't the easiest catch in the world to make just by virtue of the way that play is. But, boy, it was a beautiful drawn-up play. And that ended up being a pretty big one of the ball game. You guys had a bad snap on a PAT. And, boy, it seems like when you've got a barn burner offensive explosion like that, it's really hard to kind of catch up with that point that you miss on a point after attempt. And that one kind of stuck in you throughout the second half. And then eventually you tried to kind of go get it there with, I think, with 7 minutes left in the ball game, and just barely fell short.
Missed the extra point. That snap was just a little bit high. That our normal holder was out, and we'd been working on that the whole week, and it went a little bit high and didn't get it off, and then had to go for two later. And heck of a two-point conversion play, but just didn't come down with it. Put a little pressure on you, and I mean, it's a two-point game at that point. You know, we've got a shot. That's all you got to ask for right there. You know, fourth quarter with a team ranked, third at that point, and had only lost to Bixby and great athletes, and we're at their place for homecoming. We were excited about the situation.
Sure.
Didn't get it closed out.
Bartlesville head football coach Jason Sport with us. His weekly radio show here on K1 from Dink's Pit Barbecue off Frank Phillips Boulevard here in Bartlesville. Airs from 6 until 7 o'clock every single Wednesday evening. You can also watch the program online on KWONTV.com. Bartlesville getting set for a homecoming battle against Sand Springs on Friday evening. If you have not paid attention to the weather, you might want to bring a jacket and blanket with you. Hard to believe, Coach. It just feels like it was yesterday when we were talking about that week one ball game, when that might have been the hottest game I've ever covered in my six seasons here No wind, heat index in the mid to upper 90s, close to 100 that entire evening. And now, just a matter of weeks later, certainly it's like Oklahoma, will probably be in the low 40s and maybe even touching the 30s by the thing by the time things are wrapped up on Friday night.
Yeah, welcome to Oklahoma. You know, I can remember a game years ago. We started and it was upper 80s, and then it was snowing at the end of the game. I mean, it was a crazy deal. Yeah, it goes quick. The season goes fast, and the weather changes really quick, you know. So I think our kids are excited that it's a little bit cooler during practice, and I guess the coaches are probably excited as well.
You know, something I did want to mention that I was sad to see last night was that the Sepulpa quarterback Elijah Williams had announced that he ended up hurting himself pretty good toward the tail end of that ball game, toward his ACL, MCL, and I think he said a partial tear of his meniscus on a play with about 30 seconds left against you all. And I really only mention it, one, to wish him well. He's clearly one of the best players in the district, if not the entire state of Oklahoma. There's not many Power 5 quarterback commits in our state, and certainly he was one of them. So you wish him well, but it will be interesting to see how that kind of makes its mark on the district, because it's still pretty early in the district season, obviously. There's still four playoff spots up for grabs, and it'll be interesting to see how Sepulpa can handle their loss of that senior quarterback. You never want to see a guy injured like that, and especially a senior who now is going to have to miss the rest of his career. That was unfortunate to see on Friday evening.
Yeah, they ran that zone pool there at the end with not very much time left and wide open space, and we had a safety coming to the field, and he planted on that left leg and cut back inside, and you could see him start hobbling, and just, you know, it turns your stomach, man. He's such a great athlete, great kid, and senior, you know, and you feel bad for anybody that has to go through that situation. But if I know, you know, Coach Nolan and Coach Borg, those guys will have another quarterback step up and be ready to go and go challenge Muskogee this week and fight through to the end of the season, so.
Thanks to my partner in crime, Jay Stump, who helps us with the stats and, of course, does color on the broadcast every Friday night. Unofficially, from his count, he had 33 penalties, 19 for you guys, 14 for them, and then 153 yards for you all and 120 yards for the Sandites. So you're talking about just shy of 300 yards of penalties combined and 33 flags. That's going to certainly put a kink into a ball game.
Quite a few flags.
Yeah.
It was a long ball game.
Yeah, well, you scored 95 points with 33 flags. I'm surprised we weren't there longer than we were, honestly.
And I'll tell you what, yeah, no doubt. I could only imagine what my junior high school coaches, you know, would be saying about a 95-point game with 33 penalties like that. Really appreciate Trey bringing up the fact that there was 33 and he was right on the money and just reminded me that we had 19. That's great of you, Trey. I appreciate it so much.
Bartlesville head football coach Jason Sport with us here on our weekly radio show live from Dink's Real Pit Barbecue off Frank Phillips Boulevard here in Bartlesville. We're going to step aside. We'll have our Wassmiller Insurance player profile. Bartlesville senior quarterback Ben Winter is going to speak with us. Then we'll talk a little bit more about the Sandites specifically as Bartlesville gets set to take on Sand Springs Friday night for homecoming at Custer Stadium. Thanks to OK Federal Credit Union, Dr. Stephen Beard, the dentist, the Dunches family of autos, and, of course, Dink's Real Pit Barbecue for bringing us the Jason Sports Show every single Wednesday evening, 6 until 7 o'clock, right here on K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3.
Sometimes in life, everything seems the same. It's kind of lame. Same drive-through, same menu, same taste, same pizza box with a different name. Gotta make a move, head towards the light. Dink's Pit Barbecue, a hickory wood fire burns bright. There's that aroma on Frank's Boulevard, no time to waste. Tender and moist meats and that succulent sauce, oh, what a beautiful taste. Life's good now. Took a stand, ate at Dink's Pit Barbecue, and life is grand.
Smoother. Faster, easier to use. That's what you expect from any update on an app for your phone. And we've delivered. Head to the Google Play Store or Apple Store to get the latest version of the KWON Radio smartphone app. News, weather, sports, and community events from KWON have never been easier to access. There's even a button now for you to sound off and tell us what you think. It's free thanks to our best bank and Oklahoma Wesleyan University and available at the Google Play Store and Apple Store from KWON Radio.
Is it interesting next? next 24 to 30 hours as we have a very, very strong cold front coming in late tomorrow afternoon. In the meantime, overnight, warm, moist air coming up over this cooler air that's been across southeastern Kansas and northeastern Oklahoma. That'll give us a moderate chance of thunderstorms. A few of those thunderstorms could have some hail associated with them just because of the dynamics at play. As we look on into our Thursday afternoon, that cold front will come sweeping across the area during the middle of the afternoon. And the later in the day that you get hit with the cold front, more likely you'll have a strong or severe thunderstorm. But most of the areas of southeast Kansas and northern Oklahoma should be okay. It looks like more of that will be south of I-44, like Joplin, Tulsa, down to Oklahoma City. South and east of that line could be pretty nasty. We're looking for chances of rain, though, still hanging in there at about 30 to 40% for the afternoon into our Thursday night. Still awful cold. Temperatures by morning down the upper 30s on Friday. Friday afternoon, even with sunshine, will be about 50 to 55 at best. And northwest winds of 15 to 25. Dry over the weekend for Saturday and Sunday with highs in the 60s. And Monday and Tuesday, and really into Wednesday and Thursday of next week, continue to look dry as well. For the Bob Mills Weather Center, I'm News on 6 Chief Meteorologist Travis Meyer.
One family has been selling vehicles in Oklahoma for 90 years. Dungis Family of Autos. We're Oklahoma's oldest Toyota dealer, and we've been selling Fords and Lincolns here in Bartlesville even longer. Trade with us and you'll have a low-pressure, enjoyable time buying a car, truck, or SUV. And every new vehicle comes with our complimentary 7-year, 100,000-mile better warranty. When it comes to Toyota, Ford, and Lincoln, you have a choice. DungisChoice.com.
It's time for Bartlesville High Football 2019, and the Bruins play on K1, AM 1400 and FM 93.3. Listen to Bartlesville Football every Friday this fall thanks to Oklahoma Wesleyan University, Arvest Bank, ConocoPhillips, ASAP General Stores, Moxie on 2nd Street, and Phillips 66.
Across the 45, he's at the 50, 45, 35, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Bartlesville. 80 yards to pay dirt, Lincoln Cloud.
The Bruins play on K1 thanks to United Linen and Uniform, Wasm Alert Insurance, KOTV, The News on 6, Musselman Abstract Company, and Jane Phillips Medical Center, St. John's. Bartlesville back in action for homecoming on Friday night against the Sand Springs Sandites. A 7 o'clock kickoff with a 6:30 pregame on your home for Bruin Sports, K1.
OK Federal Credit Union is open to anyone that lives, works, or worships in Washington, Osage, or Nowata counties. Being a Bartlesville-based credit union since 1955, they know their members. OK Federal Credit Union has checking accounts with no monthly fee and actually pays you a dividend as long as your balance stays over $400. With competitive rates for cars, boats, RVs, and more, OK Federal Credit Union will make your dreams a reality. Stop by and join OK Federal Credit Union today at 3900 Southeast Adams Road or visit their website at okfcu.org. OK Federal Credit Union. They want to be your credit union.
Fourth and 8 at the Chieftain 36, and they're going for it. Tied at 7, 421 to play first quarter. Three wide receivers, Winters, play action. Steps back, heaves it deep for Simpson, far side. Caught! Touchdown, Bartlesville! Right over the shoulder, Shane Simpson came down with it. 36 yards for a Bruins score, and Bartlesville takes its first lead in the first quarter all season long. Shane Simpson burned.
Welcome back to Dink's Real Pit Barbecue. Evan Farbach, Bartlesville head football coach Jason Sport with us, and our Wasp Miller Insurance player profile tonight, Bartlesville senior quarterback Ben Winters. Ben, the thrower of that 36-yard fourth down conversion to Shane Simpson that ended up in a Bartlesville touchdown during the Bruins' a loss to Sepulpa last week. Ben, welcome into the program. Thanks for coming out tonight.
Thanks, sir.
Let's talk about that play right off the bat. Fourth down play. Coach Sport had mentioned it in the previous segment. On fourth and eight, well, heck, if Mike Gundy was calling plays, he would have ran it right up the middle. But, you know, you're thinking maybe an intermediate pass, something to get you 5-6 yards, see if you can't turn things around and, you know, lunge for the 8 yards or whatever. But you end up, you know, dialing up Shane on the far side of the field and scoring. Kind of walk me through what your thought process is on a play like that.
So I didn't really know what we were going to do, but I saw that it was fourth down, and then we called that play. And he can either go, like, run a fade, 10-yard and come back, or bend it into like a post. So I mean, I was a little bit nervous throwing it, but I knew that Shane would get a release and we go score.
It's pretty remarkable, and I talked with this
to Shane when he was the player profile a few weeks ago, how good of a job he does on routes like that with the height that he has. You know, he's only 5'8". You're not really used to seeing someone running. You're used to seeing a, you know, 6'3", 6'4", guy high point a ball, take it over a defensive back who's probably shorter than him, use that height to his advantage. He has to use a lot of other things to his advantage. And you guys are able to hook up on that play despite the fact that he's usually, you know, 3-4 inches shorter than his defensive back. Is that, I mean, kind of walk me through what it's like leading him on a play like that when he's up against a defensive back that maybe is a little bit bigger in stature than him.
Yes, he is short, but he's really quick. He's really quick, and he'll put a move on the defender and make him look silly, and I'll just give it right to his hands.
And you talked about how he has multiple options on that play. Do you have another option aside from Shane?
Yes. Not on that.
Go ahead, Ben. Give all of the offensive keys away.
Yeah, please. Coach Kennard, welcome into the program.
Not on that particular play. Like, that's a guaranteed throw.
Bartlesville senior quarterback Ben Winters with us here as we talk Bartlesville football on the Jason Sports Show every single Wednesday evening from 6 until 7 o'clock. Second-year starter at quarterback. Started 8 or 9 games a year ago. Obviously, you've started the first 5 this year, halfway through your senior campaign. I know the record isn't what you guys would have liked, but you seem to be kind of gaining confidence as the season goes along a little bit. How do you feel heading into Friday night?
I think all of us are ready for a win, and we can pull this off like we should have the other past few games. But I'm just ready to win.
You seemed like someone from, you know, watching you a season ago and into this year a little bit too, that you kind of gain on some confidence. Once you get a couple things to click right, it kind of feels like you settle down and look a little bit more comfortable. Is that a accurate representation? How do you feel like maybe you got a little bit of that to go your way against the Chieftains on Friday?
Yes, sir. I mean, last year, I was a bit nervous going in because that's my first time starting. But I just got used to the speed of the game, and that helped me a lot.
Coach Sport has talked a lot about your relationship with Jason Munoz and his, you know, kind of coaching of you the last couple of years and taking on some of his mannerisms and his confidence and things like that. How important has he been for your progression the last couple of years?
Very important. He has great play calls. He's really crazy, but if I do something wrong, he'll get into me, make sure I do it right.
And he was your quarterback's coach last year, offensive coordinator this year. Is anything a little different with that from last year to this year?
No, sir. He's still crazy and yells at me the whole time.
And Coach Sport, again, this kind of goes back to what we talked a lot about in the preseason and early on in the year, how important that was to kind of keep some continuity. I would guess that Ben's, you know, progression as a quarterback only aided by the fact that you were able to keep Coach Munoz here, his position coach, and that's the main guy who he, you know, hears from for the most part at practice when he's going through those position-specific drills, and that's got to be a big deal for you all versus, you know, maybe having to go out and find somebody different.
Yeah, without a doubt. Coach Moon does such a good job. Of course, I coached with him in another school before and watched him take a great football kid and turn him into a Division I quarterback, and then the most amazing thing was he took a free safety the next year and turned him into a Division I quarterback. And if we're operating at the pace that we're supposed to, and guys can stand the fact that he's on them and pressuring them the whole time. I mean, I've said it earlier in the year on the show, is quarterback is probably the most pressure position in any specific position in sports. I mean, you don't have another position that has that much weight on your shoulders. And what Jason does a good job of is that he puts, you know, Ben in that position in practice and then really presses hard into him. And it's an ongoing, you know, pressure cooker there for him, makes him make decisions in practice. And there may be times in a game where it's less pressure than,
sure,
you know, what he does in practice. So, yeah, it's very, very important that we had him coming through, and just the work that he had with Ben last year and the continuation of that. Now we've gotten through some of the, you know, press man stuff that we'd seen for the last couple of weeks, Dale City and Booker T, and just watching Ben's, you know, settle his feet and deliver good balls. I think, you know, that was probably your career high the other night, like 336, something like that. Spread the ball around to a lot of different receivers. It wasn't just one guy getting all the work. And he's right. The choice routes that we have, the wide receiver and quarterback have to be on the same page with that stuff. It's not an easy thing to do, and these guys have really bought into it and done a great job with it. And really proud of Ben. You know, you better tell your mama hello or something while you're on the radio tonight.
I told her I loved her on the
show. Okay, he did, good, yeah. Good.
Yeah, we ran his on Monday evening as we talked with Ben Winters, Bartlesville quarterback, or Wasmiller Insurance player profile. Let's talk about you outside the football field. Hobbies, interests, what do you like to do for fun?
Probably video games.
What's your console?
PS4.
That's what I got. What's your go-to game here?
Definitely Rocket League.
Rocket League.
Yes.
What's that?
Soccer with cars.
Soccer, okay. Oh, with cars. Good. Yeah. Do you play soccer?
No.
I didn't think so. Okay, that's interesting. What's your second favorite game?
Probably 2K.
Okay, absolutely. And you're going to play basketball this year, you said, right?
Yes, sir.
What else? Favorite TV shows? What are you watching on the Netflix?
I've been watching The 100, but probably my favorite is Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec. Who's your favorite Parks and Rec character?
Tom.
There we go. Tom Haverford. Ben Winters talking with us on our Bartlesville Football Coaches Show as we talk about the Bruins and the Sandites. Plans for when you're done with school, Ben, what would you like to do when you're done in May?
Probably go to college for construction management.
Do you have any idea where you'd like to go yet?
Keeping my options open.
So still trying to figure that out. Have you gone on any visits, anything like that?
A few game day visits.
Okay, cool. Ben Winter speaking with us here. Ben, Sand Springs on Friday night, big opportunity. You know, I talked with Coach Port about this a little bit earlier in the program, but people can glance at Bartlesville and see 0-5, and I'm sure there's lots of them to have and kind of just skip over that. But in reality, it's been a season that's pretty close to what you guys did last year, and then this was a big game for you all last year, and I think has a chance to be another big one again on Friday night for homecoming. What are your thoughts going into the game against the Sandites?
I'm excited. Just to prove people wrong.
Homecoming, does that add, do you care about that?
Kind of.
You excited for the parade, you said. That's tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
You're going to go out there and you guys get to throw candy? What are you guys doing for the parade?
I think we do get to throw candy.
Okay. Ben Winters with us, Ben. We appreciate you coming on the program and looking forward to seeing you play on Friday night against Sand Springs.
Thanks, sir.
Bartlesville senior quarterback Ben Winters for Wasmiller Insurance player profile. As the Bruins get set to take on the Sand Springs Sandites on Friday night for homecoming at Custer Stadium. We'll take our last break of the program. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about Sand Springs specifically, let you know what Coach Kennard has rolling into Custer Stadium on Friday night. All that and more coming up. It's the Bruin Football Coaches Show on K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3 live from Dink's Pit Barbecue in Bartlesville.
Sometimes in life, everything seems the same. It's kind of lame. Same drive-through, same menu, same taste, same pizza box with a different name. Gotta make a move, head towards the light. Dink's Pit Barbecue, a hickory wood fire burns bright. There's that aroma on Frank's Boulevard, no time to waste. Tender and moist meats and that succulent sauce, oh, what a beautiful taste. Life's good now. Took a stand, ate at Dink's Pit Barbecue, and life is grand.
One family has been selling vehicles in Oklahoma for 90 years. Dungis Family of Autos. We're Oklahoma's oldest Toyota dealer, and we've been selling Fords and Lincolns here in Bartlesville even longer. Trade with us and you'll have a low-pressure, enjoyable time buying a car, truck, or SUV. And every new vehicle comes with our complimentary 7-year, 100,000-mile better warranty. When it comes to Toyota, Ford, and Lincoln, you have a choice. DungisChoice.com.
Is an interesting next 24 to 30 hours as we have a very, very strong cold front coming in late tomorrow afternoon. In the meantime, overnight, warm, moist air coming up over this cooler air that's been across southeastern Kansas and northeastern Oklahoma. That'll give us a moderate chance of thunderstorms. A few of those thunderstorms could have some hail associated with them just because of the dynamics at play. As we look on into our Thursday afternoon, that cold front will come sweeping across the area during the middle of the afternoon. And the later in the day that you get hit with the cold front, more likely you'll have a strong or severe thunderstorm. But most of the areas of southeast Kansas and northern Oklahoma should be okay. It looks like more of that will be south of I-44, like Joplin, Tulsa, down to Oklahoma City. South and east of that line could be pretty nasty. We're looking for chances of rain, though, still hanging in there at about 30 to 40% for the afternoon into our Thursday night. Still awful cold. Temperatures by morning down the upper 30s on Friday. Friday afternoon, even with sunshine, will be about 50 to 55 at best. And northwest winds of 15 to 25. Dry over the weekend for Saturday and Sunday with highs in the 60s. And Monday and Tuesday, and really into Wednesday and Thursday of next week, continue to look dry as well. For the Bob Mills Weather Center, I'm News on 6 Chief Meteorologist Travis Meyer.
Smoother, faster, easier to use. That's what you expect from any update on an app for your phone. And we've delivered. Head to the Google Play Store or Apple Store to get the latest version of the KWON Radio smartphone app. News, weather, sports, and community events from KWON have never been easier to access. There's even a button now for you to sound off and tell us what you think. It's free thanks to our best bank and Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and available at the Google Play Store and Apple Store from KWON Radio.
OK Federal Credit Union is open to anyone that lives, works, or worships in Washington, Osage, or Nowata counties. Being a Bartlesville-based credit union since 1955, they know their members. OK Federal Credit Union has checking accounts with no monthly fee and actually pays you a dividend as long as your balance stays over $400. With competitive rates for cars, boats, RVs, and more, OK Federal Credit Union will make your dreams a reality. Stop by and join OK Federal Credit Union today at 3900 Southeast Adams Road or visit their website at okfcu.org. OK Federal Credit Union. They want to be your credit union.
Left side, finds the seam, breaks the tackle, big hole. Step arms a man across the 45. He's at the 50, 45, 35, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. Bartlesville, 80 yards to pay dirt. Lakin Cloudis walks it into the end zone. Welcome back to Dink's Real Pit Barbecue off Frank Phillips Boulevard in Bartlesville. You're listening to the Jason Sports Show here on K1 AM 1400 FM 93.3. Evan Farbach, Bartlesville head football coach Jason Sport. Our K1TV.com viewers got a nice view of Coach Sport eating a quarter chicken there. So that was pretty good.
Dink's Barbecue.
If you missed out on that, you can check out the archive version on K1TV.com. Going to talk a little bit about the Sand Springs Sandites. Coach, a Sand Springs club, it's 2-3 on the year. They're 1-1 in district play. We were talking off-air before that they just played a really brutal non-district portion of their schedule. Mansfield, Texas, Greenwood, Arkansas. Lost both those. They've got a win over Putnam City. They beat Shawnee 21-19. Boy, the Sand Springs and Shawnee have played a couple of battles in back-to-back years. I remember they won that game in overtime last year. Shawnee did over Sand Springs. And they lost to Muskogee last week. And, again, Coach Kennard, a heck of a coach. He's been there almost as long as any Sand Springs football coach ever has been. And they'll certainly be ready to play on Friday night.
Yeah, Coach Kennard does a great job with that crew. Their kids always play hard. A year ago, it was a tough game for us and snuck it out. But if you'll remember, that crew went ahead and they upset Sepulpa a few weeks later when they played them. They play a brutal schedule early. Greenwood, Arkansas, a place I know very well, place I was at. And, that team out of Texas is very tough. And that close game to Shawnee, 21-19, that's a win for them. And they do a great job offensively of finding what you do and trying to exploit those things with their strengths. Defensively, they time the blitzes up, play good defense, play really hard. Should be a lot of fun this week. Always enjoyable to see Coach Kennard. It said a lot about him just, a year ago at this time. He's getting some pretty bad news, and a lot of people were wondered what that's going to look like for him. And I mean, he hadn't batted an eye and has coached right through all that stuff, and not just coach, but coaches hard and does a great job with those kids. And so thankful for him and his friendship over the years, and glad that he gets to come up this Friday, man.
Yeah, he's in his 13th year at his alma mater, Charles Page High School, 65 career wins. He's 4 short of the all-time record for Sand Springs as far as wins. Went to Evangel University, so he's been there a long time, a staple down in Sand Springs. It's a program that's had a lot of success the last 5-6 years or so. Last year was a little bit uncharacteristic for them. They only won 3 games. They've got 8 guys back on offense. Interesting thing about their club is they've got 8 returning starters, but they do miss both their starting running back and quarterback from a year ago. I was preparing for the game on Sunday night into Monday and reading some box scores and whatnot, and I kept on seeing Pennington pop up as the quarterback, and I thought, how in the world is Cade Pennington still at Sand Springs? I swear this got to be his 5th, 6th year. You know, he's like Jalen Hurts or whoever, just hanging around forever. Well, I realized 15 minutes later that it's his brother. Pennington is his name. So they're keeping a bloodline of quarterbacks there with the last name of Pennington at Sand Springs. He's starting for the first year as a sophomore, and he's had a pretty good year. I don't think he's thrown an interception yet. And as a young first-year starting quarterback, he's had a lot of success. He did not start the first half of their first game of the year, but he's been their guy ever since.
Yeah, we saw him in the 707 during the summer, and athletic, strong arm. Much like his brother, he's not run the ball as much as his older brother did, but he has the skills to do so. And, you know, that's a very talented bloodline that they have. And with the people that are around him, they're going to put pressure on you, you know.
And this was kind of a coming out party for Lake and Cladis last year. If you kind of follow what the 2018 Bruins did, they lost that game to Sepulpa when DeAndre Young was injured. And then Lakin came out and started at Sand Springs. And what just a monster win. It really goes to show you, Coach, how much one win can do for you. That completely kind of turned the 2018 Bruins on their head. They spurted forward, nearly got into the playoffs. And it all came from a drive with less than 3 minutes left. Ben Winters found Jalen Oliver and just a monster catch on the right sideline, and ended up getting a rushing touchdown with less than a minute to go ahead and beat Sand Springs. And Lake and Cladis started in that game in replacement of DeAndre Young, who had gotten injured earlier and had 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. And that was a monster game for a guy who's going to be starting as a senior in his final homecoming on Friday.
Yeah, without a doubt. I'm really proud of, you know, Lakin and what he's done since then. I will tell you that, and I didn't mention this earlier, but the other night against Sepulpa, our offensive line played really, really well. Coach Hurd made a few adjustments from the week before, and they graded out higher than they've been, played really good up front. Lakin saw that really well, and it helped. This is an interesting game. Lakin had a great one last year. I would also mention that, you know, Tayton Hopkins, this was the first game last year that he played offense.
Yeah.
And had a couple of really big catches to keep drives going, and it was a total team effort, and we're excited to see what Lakin does this week, and we got to continue to press on.
You know, one of the things that I did not mention and probably should have in the first part of the show, as we talk with Bartlesville head football coach Jason Sport here on his weekly radio program, was Caden Davis in the passing game. You guys targeted him pretty early and often, you know, after you'd had some issues dropping the ball the previous couple of weeks. It was nice to see someone kind of new, aside from Shane, get in on the offensive deal, and he caught a couple, you know, big passes early in the ball game, and it kind of felt like that calmed Ben down and calmed everybody down. And we talked about some of those things being contagious last week, and it felt like Caden and Shane kind of set the tone for everyone else, Nick and then Caleb later on, to kind of hold on to that ball and then have a really big day passing, as you mentioned. Ben Winters over 300 yards through the air.
Yeah, without a doubt. So proud of Caden Davis. You know, he was a kid that a year ago that there were a lot of people that thought he was going to get much playing time, and ended up starting at safety week one, and continuously got better, continued to work on that. And, you know, this year coming in, we put a lot on his plate. And the last few weeks, man, he's done such a great job of just, you know, staying focused on his part, and he's a vital part of what we do offensively and defensively, special teams and all.
They were a lot more pass-heavy last year. Sand Springs was about 70-75% pass a year ago. This year, they're much more close to 50-50. Some of that probably has to do with the fact that they have a younger quarterback, Ty Pennington. So far this year, 61 of 118 passing, so about 50% completion rating, 8 touchdowns, no interceptions, 622 yards through 5 games. Pretty decent numbers. Once again, Pennington came in for another senior. Braden Foster actually started that first game in Mansfield. He's been the guy they've used ever since then. He's the younger brother of Caden, who was their starting quarterback the previous 3 years. At tailback, I mentioned they lost their starter from a year ago, but they still got Trey Wilkerson, who's kind of been a continual backup running back for them. And then the guy who's been getting most of the carries the last couple weeks, number 10, you'll see on a Friday night, is Blake Jones.
And, you know, that's the name of the game. You want to have a few more running backs there, and they've got an experienced offensive line that does a good job. They don't do a ton of stuff up front. They just do what they do very well, you know. And with the offense that they run, the check with me stuff, they can change pass protection or switch from a run to a pass really quick, put you in a bind just based on what you're lining up in and showing. Should be a lot of fun. You know, those receivers on the edge, they've got three guys that are really dynamic, and maybe the one that they target the most may not be the one that is the most explosive one. So you got to keep your eyes open and make sure your keys are correct and play hard every snap, or they're going to put you in a bind. You know, last year they jumped out on us and had a big lead early. They turned the ball over a few times last year, and we kind of got things rolling. And the ball bounced our way, and then Elijah, I don't know if you remember that, but Elijah took that power read, stripped it right from their hands, went down and scored.
Just took it from them, ran into the end zone.
It's a wild game, and we're excited to play another game. We're appreciative of those guys coming up, and we're looking forward to it.
Mentioned their number two wide receiver as far as guys that catch the ball, Jacob Snodgrass, probably is, as far as athleticism and skill goes, maybe their best wide receiver. Well, as you mentioned, he's second in receiving, 21 catches so far this year. He's outpacing his numbers from last year. He got kind of dinged up. In fact, I don't think he even played against Bartlesville a year ago. He only played a couple games down the stretch of the season after he had a tremendous non-district for them. And he's a senior and is going to be a guy who's pretty experienced, and I'm sure kind of champing at the bit to have a good senior campaign after he missed some last year. And, of course, they missed out on the playoffs a year ago, too.
Yeah, without a doubt. That, again, can't say enough. I mean, those really well-coached kids and explosive, and they do a good job there. And he's one of them that at any given point, he can get away from you. So you've got to stay focused on doing your part and make sure you guys around you are fitting correctly and understanding that they're going to make plays. We just got to come back and make sure they're not gigantic chunks of plays and play the next play for us, you know. It's turning out to be one of those games, you know.
Sure.
I think about last year, how good Sand Springs can be. You know, they beat Sepulpa, you know, a few weeks after they, you know, lost to us. And that's just a testament to say, hey, they're very good. You got to do your part or you're going to get snipped.
Homecoming Friday night. Probably going to be a pretty good crowd, although, as we mentioned, the weather going to be interesting for that one just because it's going to be so chilly on Friday evening. But it provides you with some extra things to do, some would say distractions. What are your thoughts on homecoming?
Yeah, love homecoming. There are more things to do this week, but it's an opportunity for us to use that platform to, you know, talk to people about what we're really all about. And there are some extra duties. There's a parade on Thursday night, and there's a 5:45 a.m. wake-up time and get up there for the live pep rally thing that they do on the news on Friday morning. We got a homecoming assembly, and it's an exciting time. Homecoming's always, you know, fun for us, just to, you know, those alum that they do come back to see the program and see how it's progressed, and I enjoy it. The festivities for the whole week and, you know, the dress-up stuff. The kids have a lot of fun with it. We have great class participation and all those, you know, student body things. The brew crew does a great job. I do not dress up. Usually I have meetings. I had 7:30 a.m. meeting at a place today to speak. And
you're not trying to wear pink after that 7:30 meeting?
Yeah, you could imagine me dressing up in a costume.
Today was pink day, wasn't it?
I think it was pink day. But we have a lot of people that participate. We took a few kids to Kane Elementary this morning. They got to speak to the Kane Elementary kids. A lot of great things that happen around homecoming. You know, we want a community that's proud of their football program. And guys that, you know, do come back for homecoming, to come back to something that's quality and they're proud to say they're a part of. So.
And I've seen, speaking of homecoming, a few former Bruins on the sideline first couple weeks of the regular season. Now that I say that out loud, I can't remember who they were, but I know that I've seen a few kind of trouncing around down their first few home games, and nice to have another one on Friday night.
Yes, no doubt, no doubt.
Weather going to be chilly, as we mentioned, so you might bring a jacket with you, blanket. I will still stand that that's a lot better than 90-degree weather, 50-degree. I'll take 40 over 90 any day for the most part. So bring a jacket and a blanket with you. Should be a heck of a ball game. Bartlesville and Sand Springs Friday night. 7 o'clock kick, 6:30 pregame right here on K1. Of course, you can watch it online as well on K1TV.com. Coach Sport, we appreciate it. Thanks so much, sir.
Thanks again, brother.
Bartlesville head football coach Jason Sport, for Ben Winters and Trey Stump doing a great job back in the studio. I'm Evan Farbach. We'll get you back to regular programming. Thanks to OK Federal Credit Union, the Dunges family of autos, Dink's Pet Barbecue, and Dr. Stephen Beard, the dentist, of course, for bringing us the Jason Sport Show every single Friday evening or Wednesday evening here on K1. By the way, St. Louis Cardinals, it's in the bag, 13-1. The Redbirds lead the Braves in the bottom of the eighth inning.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227CQ Bartlesville.
Will likely result in serious national security repercussions.
If the Turkish incursion...